At a stop in Waukesha over the weekend, Jill Biden said another Trump presidency would be, quote, dangerous to women. It's Monday, March 4th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has rejected a lawsuit seeking to redraw the state's congressional maps. And a new state historical marker is commemorating Milwaukee's Fair Housing Marches. Robert Smith of Marquette University will be joining the podcast to share the story. Stay with us.
On Wisconsin Today, you hear the biggest stories in our state delivered with the context you need from a source you can trust. This journalism is community supported. Join in now with your gift at wpr.org/givewitoday.
First Lady Jill Biden warned a crowd of people in Waukesha yesterday about the dangers of another Trump presidency. Evan Casey has more from the Women for Biden-Harris tour stop.
The First Lady said women were the key to Democratic President Joe Biden's victory in 2020 and predicted they will be again in 2024. And it's another reminder of the importance the swing state will play in the race. Jill Biden spoke to around 100 people gathered at the Waukesha County Expo Center. Her visit comes days after reports emerged that former President Donald Trump would consider a national abortion ban if elected.
Donald Trump is dangerous to women and to our families. We simply cannot let him win.
Wisconsin GOP Chair Brian Schimming called the visit a desperate attempt to cover for a tired presidency. An AP voter survey found Biden got 55% of women's votes in 2020. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A lawsuit seeking to redraw Wisconsin's congressional maps has been rejected by the state Supreme Court. The suit was filed by the high-profile Democratic firm Elias Law Group. It argued the state's 8 congressional districts are essentially lawless because they were drawn using a least changes approach to redistricting ordered by the Supreme Court's former conservative majority. The court's new liberal majority overruled the least changes approach when it overturned Republican-drawn state assembly and Senate maps. But it never ruled on the congressional district lines, and Friday's ruling means they'll remain in place this year. Wisconsin's current maps help Republicans win 6 out of the state's 8 congressional seats in 2022. Liberal Justice Janet Protasiewicz did not participate in the unanimous decision to reject the case, stating she stepped aside because she was not involved in the 2021 decision. Milwaukee Area Technical College is a top-producing institution of Fulbright scholars. Corrine Hess talked to one instructor who's spending the year doing research in Slovakia after winning the prestigious scholarship.
Peter Brzezinski spent decades working at his parents' Polish restaurant on Milwaukee's south side, but his true passion has always been poetry. Brzezinski says he would stay up until 5 a.m. reading poems as a child. Now, thanks to a Fulbright scholarship, he's working on a book of poetry focused on his family's Cold War experience.
I have all the privileges of growing up in America and being a privileged American, but the other half, I have this inherited history, you know, war, genocide, oppression. Just trying to piece together those bifurcating aspects of my identity on both sides of the Iron Curtain, if you will.
Fulbright scholarships are awarded for scholars sponsored by the U.S. Department of State. Several MATC instructors have been recipients. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin is one of 5 states without a film office and one of 10 that doesn't offer any production incentives for filmmakers. A new bill is trying to change that. The Republican-authored measure would create a 25% tax credit for wages for employees. Production costs would also get a 25% tax credit. Supporters of the measure say the incentives would draw movie and TV crews to the state. Katie Hiles with Action Wisconsin, the group of filmmakers and producers, support the measure.
Keeping filmmakers working here from the state and people from outside of the state coming here because we have like some of the best locations and ease of shooting of anywhere you can go in the Midwest.
A past state tax incentive program for filmmakers was eliminated in 2013. The new measure won't come up for a vote, however, until the next legislative session. Coming up, Over 50 years ago, civil rights activists in Milwaukee marched for 200 consecutive nights to fight for fair housing. Now their legacy is being remembered in a series of state historical markers. I'll be chatting with Robert Smith of Marquette University about this history. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
A new state historical marker was unveiled recently at St. Boniface Catholic Church in Milwaukee, commemorating the city's fair housing marches. Through 1967 and 1968, activists marched for 200 consecutive days to protest segregation in housing within the city of Milwaukee. Joining us now is Robert Smith. He's the director at the Center for Urban Research, Teaching, and Outreach at Marquette University. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
What sparked these marches, and what were the goals of the people who were involved with them?
Well, the open housing marches of 1967-68 here in Milwaukee really fit in this rich tradition of both civil rights activism and civil rights era protests. And it gets melded with an emerging sense of radicalism as we move into what most scholars or what folks might refer to as the era of Black power. So here in Milwaukee, you have the more longstanding efforts at marching, boycotting as a means of demanding basic rights, fundamental rights of citizenship. And then it's included in that process is an emerging voice of young people who are less patient and less willing to sit across from folks negotiating, who are then also, as young people, wanting those rights to manifest immediately. And you have this important marriage of those two played out with folks like Vail Phillips, a leading iconic figure herself, who is engaged in politics, an elected official, who's then partnering with the shock troops, if you will, the folks who are on the ground protesting, along with, you know, the mentoring and leadership from Father Grappi. But it's these young people, these NAACP youth activists, commandos, the folks who are looking to protect them from hostility. It's all of that coming together in the late 60s, where then Milwaukee offers its rich imprint on the civil rights era.
Yeah, and the name Vail Phillips is still obviously very much around the city of Milwaukee, but I want to talk more about those individual marchers. How were those marchers received originally across the city, and what did they ultimately accomplish?
It depends on where you are in the city, certainly. I think depending on where you are in the city, those marchers might be more welcome than in other places. As the 60s evolve and grow, any number of Black communities across the country are engaging in local civil rights struggles. Indeed, the civil rights movement is a collection of local movements in so many ways. And we see that not only in terms of open housing, but then also in reference to school desegregation, employment equality, and the longstanding challenges to engage in the political process. So these young folks were a part of a rich cauldron of activism where in their own communities, in places where other folks are engaging in protests, they're probably very welcomed. Of course, once they cross that viaduct, it's a whole other reality on the south side of Milwaukee in the 1960s, where they were very unwelcomed. And folks from around the region came to serve as counter-protesters to these young people who are, again, demanding that they be recognized fully as citizens.
Why do you think now is the time that these markers are being put in? Why not earlier? Why is now the right moment?
I'm not sure why now, but I am certain that it's been a community-wide call for the full recognition of the significance of the open housing marches and the marchers to be not only recognized as important civil rights activists and figures, but it's today presents the opportunity for these conversations to be included in our classroom curricula as part of the ways that young people understand the importance of their local history. And also just to make sure young people understand how important they have been throughout history in effectuating social change. So I guess a more concrete response is that it's been several decades in the making. There's been a community-wide swelling of voices to highlight how important this history is. And we're really lucky to have had some of those marchers involved in that process along the way.
These historical markers commemorate Black history in Wisconsin, but of those more than 600 historical markers in the state, only 10 commemorate the history of the state's Black residents. 10 represent women's history, but then there are none that represent the state's Hmong population, also Hispanic or LGBTQ communities. So what would your message be for people in those communities who are looking to get more representation themselves?
You know, as a member of the Board of Curators for the Wisconsin Historical Society, these are the very kinds of questions that we are raising on a regular basis. To be perfectly honest, though, we're in a different moment today than we were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, where, as we've seen over the last couple of years, the very question of what gets memorialized and how it gets memorialized has moved decidedly into the hands of grassroots voices, and not only being determined by our more longstanding institutions that were quite honestly dominated by overwhelmingly either European histories and or white histories, if you will. And now we are just simply at a place where this very fundamental conversation around the public representation of history, folks are demanding quite a bit more inclusion. You know, I don't mean this to overly lighten the mood, but history is also fun. And the more that we are working to engage and include more voices, more diverse identities, our young people and people in general will also see themselves in those histories and begin to or continue to enjoy those histories because they are more inclusive. You know, history is also so much about identity. And the more that we are engaging those histories with more identities, the more enjoyable it will continue to be.
Robert Smith, the director at the Center for Urban Research, Teaching and Outreach at Marquette University, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me anytime.
And that'll do it for this Monday. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Mallory Chang and John Davis put the show together behind the scenes today. Appreciate you listening. If you enjoyed the show, tell a friend about it. Help spread the word. It really does help us here at WPR. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.